Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Hear it from the doctor with expert guests from the American Academy of Pediatrics. It's Healthy Children. Now, our favorite mom, Melanie Cole, MS.
When your children has a stomach ache, your child has a stomach ache, which they do all the time, do you wonder if it's like appendicitis? Is it something more serious, some kind of parasite, or is it constipation, gas, bloating? Maybe they ate something they didn't agree with them. When they start vomiting, if they start vomiting, when do you worry that it's really an issue and really something you call your doctor about? My guest is Dr. Elizabeth Murray. She's a physician specializing in pediatric emergency medicine. Welcome to the show, Dr. Murray. Vomiting, tummy aches, fevers, they all go together, and for some reason, they seem to be pretty scary for parents. When do we worry?
They do seem to be scary because you're right. In the back of your head, you're always thinking, is this appendicitis? What if I'm missing appendicitis? What if I'm missing something that could be treated right now? And you're exactly right that the kids get these kind of bugs all the time, and they're really hard to care for because, you know, what's worse than vomiting? Well, taking care of a child that's vomiting, especially the younger ones, because you really can't explain to them what's going on. And I think also, especially if it's the first time your child has gone through this, it's easy to forget to let your child be ill. And what I mean by that is that you're used to a really active, playful toddler or young kid who's running around and doing all sorts of stuff, and then all of a sudden you have somebody who wants to just lay on the couch, who doesn't want to do anything. And that's a dramatic change in their personality. And so if you can take the situation and look at the symptoms and say, you know, even if the child is young, if you say, boy, if I had those symptoms, what would I want to do? And if it seems to make sense, even though if it's different for your child normally, if in that situation with a little bit of a fever, maybe with a couple episodes of throwing up or some loose stools, if they're acting as you think you would if you had the same symptoms, then that's kind of a good guideline of where things are. And also thinking about what else have you been doing? Did you just take some really interesting camping trip to some exotic place and drink a lot of water from a lake? Well, then maybe you've got some different kind of risk factors there, and that's when we can rely on our pediatricians who are always available to kind of run through scenarios. But early on, the presence of a fever alone in the setting of vomiting does not necessarily mean you have to pack everybody up and go right into the ED right away. A little tincture of time is okay to watch.
Okay, so first of all, appendicitis. My pediatrician said, have her jump up and down, because that's sort of a little tip. So if the jumping up and down causes intense pain, where is the appendix, Dr. Murray? If people want to palpate and feel that pulling out as you lift out, if you're, you know, pushing in, where is it? Just tell people.
So usually the right side of the lower abdomen, kind of almost near the right, near the groin, so below the belly button over to the right side. That's where it lives usually. Sometimes it can kind of point in different directions, but that's the notorious site of pain in the setting of appendicitis. And the jumping up and down, because you can imagine if you've got this little tube, that's where your appendix is, a little tube, if it's angry and inflamed, if you were to wiggle around or jump up and down, it would shake inside your belly, and that would be really, really irritating. So somebody who has appendicitis a lot of times just wants to be really, really still. They don't want to move because any movement's going to make things feel a lot worse. And that's different a lot of times than somebody who has some gas pains, who a lot of times they just can't get themselves comfortable, and so it's a totally different presentation. The classic for appendicitis is they get this vague belly pain, maybe it's around their belly button, and then over a number of hours kind of moves its way down to the right lower quadrant, and then they realize, yeah, they really would just rather be still. Fevers are starting to set in at that point. Maybe there's some vomiting. Certainly there's a sense of not wanting to eat anything at all, and the pain just progressively gets worse.
When do we try things like Gas-X or, you know, little tummies or any of these kinds of things when we think it might be that the pain in their stomach and the stomach ache, you know, might be just gas or constipation?
You certainly can always try those. They're never going to really be dangerous. The thing is, a lot of times they're not always that helpful. So I wouldn't put a lot of weight in those. Sometimes, you know, grandmothers were right, and a little bit of carbonated beverage, a little soda might be what you need to really kind of have the same effect as one of those types of medications. The one caution here is things like Pepto-Bismol. A lot of times people don't realize that that formulation that adults can take actually has an aspirin-like medicine in it. So just a reminder, in the setting of fevers, we don't want kids to have aspirin. There's some bad side effects that they can get with certain types of illnesses. So you just need to be careful about that type of situation. The anti-diarrheal or anti-nausea medicines that you can get over the counter sometimes can be a little problematic, but the anti-gas ones in general are always safe. Just might not get a lot of relief with it, but you can certainly give it a try if you've had luck with them in the past.
And
it's important to remember, too, that nothing you can do at home that's going to mask the presentation of a surgical emergency. This has been very well studied because we hate to have people come in and be very uncomfortable. And if we can give them, in some situations, morphine or really strong pain medications to make them comfortable, we want to do that. But at the same time, we want to make sure that we're not missing a diagnosis. So this has really been studied in the emergency department setting. And we've seen over and over again that it's just that we can actually give something as powerful as morphine and still go on to make the correct diagnosis of appendicitis. So you don't really need to worry about it. It's always appropriate to treat pain and fever at home. We'll believe you that the child had the symptoms. We definitely will believe you. We don't want that child to be uncomfortable. If you can work towards treating it at home, go ahead and start.
Okay, so, you know, what is too high?
As far as a fever?
Yep.
There really is no too high. There's high enough that's going to make you feel miserable. And there's definitely some illnesses that are going around, not only just in flu season, but we've seen them in our community this time of year, too, where kids have temperatures of 103, 104. And that's enough to make you feel awful, but that in and of itself is not enough to be dangerous if the child is able to do other things, like keep themselves hydrated and have the temperature respond to doses of ibuprofen or acetaminophen to get the temperature down. It's enough to make you feel miserable, but remember, fever is really coming from your body working hard to fight off the germs. It's your body's first line of defense. So we don't like it because it makes you hurt and it makes you not want to eat and drink and generally feel bad, but it's actually your body doing good work for you. So doing things like supporting the child with sips of liquids to keep them hydrated, keeping that temperature down if possible with ibuprofen or acetaminophen, whatever is comfortable for the child is the way you want to go when it comes to temperature care. In a child who's otherwise healthy, who seems to be, again, proportionate. If I had these symptoms, what would I be doing? Okay, my child is acting the same way I think I would be acting. Again, in somebody who's otherwise healthy. Some kids who have sickle cell disease or other problems, a fever is a totally separate situation and a true medical emergency.
And when they're vomiting, you know, you said we make sure to keep them hydrated. What if they can't keep that stuff down?
A couple different things you can do is first, you know, when the illness is first starting, you're a couple hours into it, a child probably is not going to be able to vomit enough to get themselves dehydrated. And you're often in the situation where if you try to take in sips of anything right away, you're going to just vomit it up. So in the first few hours, just taking a break from everything is fine and just let the child rest. And then if you can start simple with a sip of a juice if you want, not an orange juice, but a simple clear liquid or one of the oral rehydration solutions that are available, a sip or two of that every 5 to 10 minutes, and if the child vomits again, take a break for about a half an hour and then start up again. These illnesses often are accompanied by some diarrhea. If a child has stopped vomiting but is just having some loose stools, you can usually advance the diet through that a little bit faster than you can. But in general, you want to encourage a sip or two of liquid every 5 minutes, with a break if they do vomit. Popsicles can also work great for this because you just have to eat them relatively slow, so that can be a nice, easy way to get things in. In general, you want to avoid guzzling down a bunch of liquid at once because that's almost a guarantee that that'll come vomiting back up at you.
Absolutely, and in just the last 30 seconds or so, Dr. Murray, your best advice for parents with the fever, vomiting, stomach aches, kind of wrap it all up for us.
Treat for comfort. You want to treat for comfort. You're right in that your child is not going to be their normal self with this. Treat for comfort and then trust your gut instinct. If something seems like it's headed in the wrong direction, let your pediatrician know.
Okay, that's great information. So you call your pediatrician if it's going on. If it's something you're worried about, let your instincts be your guide. And parents, you know this kind of thing can be very, very scary, but it might not be as scary as you might think. And so you've received some great information. Share it with your friends. And remember, if you missed any of this great information, you can listen anytime on demand or on the go at radiomd.com. This is Melanie Cole for Healthy Children. Stay well.